Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abada ala Habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahluh. The next ghazwa was the ghazwa of Banu al-Mustariq, or it is also known as the ghazwa of Muraysi'. Banu al-Mustariq was the name of the clan against whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had fought, and Muraysi' was the name of a water source which was near the place that the Banu al-Mustariq was staying in, near the area, and the battle had taken place at this water source. So the leader of the Banu al-Mustariq, who later on became a Sahabi and also became the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Harith bin Abi Dirar, he prepared an army, a strong army, of comprising of his own people as well as others over whom he had influence. And the plan was to march against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received information of this, he sent a Sahabi by the name of Burayda Aslami radiallahu an to go and investigate the matter. Burayda radiallahu an, when he was leaving, he asked permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if I need to make up a story to save my life, can I do so? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him permission. This is an occasion of war, al-harbu khud'a, and during war, for a person to make up a story is permissible. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the permission. He leaves, and when he goes to the area of the Banu al-Mustariq, he finds a huge army that was prepared. He goes into the army. So the leader, Harith bin Abi Dirar, sees him and he asks him that, "Who are you?" So he says, "I'm one of you. I'm one of you, and I represent my people, and I have influence over others, and our plan is to join you in your attack against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Harith bin Abi Dirar was very excited, he was very happy. He says that, "We are preparing also, so get ready quickly, because we want to launch this attack." Burayda radiallahu anhu, in this way, he saves himself from the situation, and he very quickly, hurriedly goes to Medina Munawwara and he informs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the information is 100% true. They are planning this army, or they are planning this attack. They have prepared this army and they are planning this attack. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hastened to leave Medina Munawwara, appointing Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu over Medina Munawwara on Monday, the 2nd of Sha'ban, the 5th year after Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left to the army of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This army comprised of 30 horses. And along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two of his azwaj mutahharat, his respected wives, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and Sayyida Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, also went out. For the first time, a very big group of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites, also joined the Muslim army. Previously, they would not join, or like in the Battle of Uhud, they came out and then under some pretext, they made an excuse and they went back. In the Battle of Khandaq, it was similar. They made an excuse that our houses are insecure, and on that pretext, they went back. So they did not join other expeditions. However, in this expedition, a big group of the munafiqeen joined. And the reason for them joining was they had hope of a lot of booty, that this army will receive a lot of booty, and they wanted to share in the booty. And secondly, the journey was not a difficult journey, because the place, the intended place, was not far, it was nearby. Hence, these munafiqeen joined. And later on, inshallah, we will discuss the amount of problems that they caused because of them joining the army on this occasion. En route, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man from the Abdul Qais, was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, "Where is your family?" He says that, "My family is in Roha." Then he further asked that, "Where are you going?" He says that I have come to bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have come to join you in this fight of yours. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadaka lil Islam. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has guided you to Islam. Then this person who just newly accepted Islam, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyul a'mali ahabbu ilallah. That which action is most dear and most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The concern of a believer is to get the mahabba and to get the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he asked that which action is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the answer, which is a very important answer. As-salatu li awwali waqtiha. That performing salah at its first time. Obviously for the woman folk it would be as soon as the time comes in. For the men it would be that performing salah with jamaat in the masjid and not delaying our salah. So he, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him this answer. The resolve that he had and the determination he had in doing that action which is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama and historians write that for the rest of his life, he remained very, very firm on performing his salah diligently. The sahaba radiallahu anhum caught a spy of the enemy. So he was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to extract information from him, but he did not give any information whatsoever. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented Islam to him. He refused to accept Islam as well. So at this juncture now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Umar radiallahu an, or instructs Umar radiallahu an to kill him. Obviously, if he returns back to the enemy, he will give information to the enemy, which will not be in favor of the Muslims, that the enemy will get information before time regarding them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed that the spy should be killed. The news of the departure of the Muslim army had reached the Banu Mustaliq, as well as the news of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructing that the spy must be killed. That news also reached. Because of this, it affected them and it weakened them. And the other tribes that had joined the Banu Mustaliq, because Harith bin Abi Dirar had some type of influence over them, those tribes that had joined because of this, those tribes now dispersed and the Banu Mustaliq were left all alone. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the Banu Mustaliq, they were not expecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to reach so quickly. So they were still not prepared for combat, for the fight. They were feeding the animals water at that time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached. Both armies made their rows. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the flag of the Muhajireen to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and the flag of the Ansar to Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu an. And then he told Umar radiallahu an to call out, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تمنعوا بها أنفسكم وأموالكم. That say لا إله إلا الله, bring iman, you will protect your lives and you will protect your wealth as well. However, the Banu Mustaliq, they were not prepared to accept iman. They refused. Thereafter, the both sides started to fire arrows at each other. And then the Muslims launched an attack. They launched an attack all at once. And the Banu Mustaliq could not manage defending themselves. Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu anha, who later on became the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her father was the leader of the army. She says that I remember my father saying, Atana mala qibala lana bihi, that such an army has come to us that we do not have the power to fight against this army. And she says that I myself am witness to this, that I saw so many people, I saw such weapons, and I saw so many horses, which I never saw before. And she says, later on, when I accepted Islam and I joined the army of the Muslims, then I realized that there were not so many. And it was just the ru'ub that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the awe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed on them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us feel that the army is so mighty and the army is so strong. Another person who later on also accepted Islam and became a Muslim, he says that we saw white men on black and white horses. And he says that we didn't see such men before and we never see them after. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instilled fear in the hearts of the enemy. And because of this, they could not withstand the attack. 10 of them were killed. And most of the remainder of the Banu al-Mustaliq were taken as captives. 200 households of the Banu al-Mustaliq were taken as captives. And 2,000 camels and 5,000 goats were taken as booty. So a lot of booty that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum had received from this, had received from the Banu al-Mustaliq. And the leader, Harith bin Abi Dirar, his daughter, whose name was Barra at that time, later on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed her name to Juwayriya radiallahu anha, she was also taken as captive. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed a Sahabi by the name of Bureida bin Husayb radiallahu an to tie the hands of the captives behind their backs. Among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, only one Sahabi became shaheed, Hisham bin Subaba radiallahu an. And he also became shaheed at the hands of an Ansari Sahabi because of a mistake, mistaken in him and thinking him to be one of the enemy, he had attacked him and he had made him shaheed. So because he was killed because of a mistake, then the law of Islam is that diya and blood money will be paid. His brother Miqyas, who was in Makkah Mukarramah, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Outwardly he accepted Islam and he came to ask for the blood money of his brother. So he receives the blood money and thereafter he still attacks that Ansari Sahabi and assassinates and kills that Ansari Sahabi radiallahu an, who had mistakenly killed his brother. Thereafter he ran away to Makkah Mukarramah and he became a murtad. Most probably he had not accepted Islam in the first place. He had just apparently outwardly accepted Islam so that he could receive this blood money and so that he could take revenge for his brother. So this person, Miqyas, on the day of Fath Makkah, on the day of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given general amnesty, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give amnesty to Miqyas because he had killed that Ansari Sahabi. So in lieu of that, he was killed on the day of Makkah, on the day of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. The daughter of the leader, as we explained, Harith bin Abi Dirar, his daughter Barra, was captured and she came into the share of Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu. Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu gave her an offer that if you wish, you can pay for your freedom. So there is an agreement, an arrangement that is made, which is known as Kitaba, where the slave can buy his freedom. So in the similar manner, he offered her that she could buy her freedom. She accepted this agreement. However, she did not have anything through which she would be able to buy her freedom. So she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him for help. She says that I have nothing, but I have hope that you will assist me and help me. This was the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although he had fought against them, although his army had taken her as captive, she still knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such a person that if I had a need and if I was in a desperate situation, I can go to him for help. So she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for help in order for her to pay off this to pay for her freedom. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her that should I make a better offer to you? So she says, what is that offer? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I will pay off this amount and I will free you and thereafter I will marry you. She agreed and she was happy to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, 3 nights before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's army had reached the Banu al-Mustariq, Juwayriya radiallahu anha saw a dream. And in this dream she saw the moon moving from Yathrib, moving from Medina Munawwara and falling in her lap. She did not tell anyone of this dream of hers. However, when she was taken as captive, then she had hope that perhaps this dream of hers will come true. And this is how it came true, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the moon of Yathrib, now married her and she was in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed her name from Barra to Juwayriya. Now her father comes. He was the leader. He was not taken as captive. Someone gave him asylum, gave him protection, and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that it does not befit my daughter that she should be a captive. Perhaps he did not know up till that point that now she was no more a captive and she was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he comes and he says that it does not befit my daughter for her to be a captive. She's the daughter of a leader. So he came to speak on her behalf. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in fact he came with a ransom. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him that instead of us doing this arrangement of you paying ransom for her, why we don't give her the choice? So he was happy. He says to her that you are going to be given a choice. Do not disgrace me. Meaning make the right choice and do not disgrace me. Juwayriya radiallahu anha says, اخترتُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, that I have chosen Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine choosing Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over her own family. This was the allegiance that they had and the loyalty that they had and the strong connection that they had with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the choice that we need to make. Whenever we have a choice to make, then our choice has to be اخترت الله ورسوله, that I choose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The father says that you have disgraced me. In one riwayat, in one narration it is mentioned that her father came with a lot of camels to ransom her. But as he came closer to Madinah Munawwara, from among these camels there were two camels that he really liked. And he did not want to part with these camels. So he hides these two camels in the valley of Aqiq, which is outside Madinah Munawwara, and the remainder of the camels he brought and he presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ransom his daughter. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks him that what about those two camels that you have hidden? What about those two camels that you have hidden? Immediately he says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka Muhammadur Rasulullah," and he brings iman because he realized that there was no one who knew about those two camels. It was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knew about those camels. And for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform him about those camels, it means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is definitely the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he, his two sons, and a few others from his people accepted Islam. And thereafter, most of the Banu al-Mustaliq had accepted Islam. When the news spread among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has married Juwayriya radiallahu anha, then the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum began to free the captives of the Banu al-Mustaliq that they had. 100 households were freed just because of this nikah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made with Juwayriya radiallahu anha, because the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, Asharu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they now become the in-laws of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how can we keep the in-laws of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as captive? Therefore, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, La a'lamu imra'atan kanat a'zama barakatan ala qawmiha minha. I don't know of a woman who was a means of greater blessings for her people than Juwayriya radiallahu anha. She was a source of so much of blessing for her people that just because of the choice that she made, just because of her entering into the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100 households, not 100 people, 100 families of Banu al-Mustaliq, of her people, were freed just because of this nikah. And this explains a very important point. Sometimes people who are against Islam, Orientalists, etc., they raise this question regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marrying so many wives. Why, na'udhu billah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married so many women? Was it because of lust and desire? So many of the nikahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had great wisdoms behind them. For example, this nikah of Juwayriya radiallahu anha, such great wisdom there was, that just by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering into nikah with the sahabiyah, 100 households of the Banu al-Mustaliq were freed because of this. Inshallah, we will continue to discuss the problems that the munafiqeen had created during this ghazwa. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.